sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, those are time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up! Check yourself, Q. You gotta snap some collars and let them motherfuckers know you there to take them out anytime you feel like it. You gotta get the ground beneath your feet, partner. Get the wind behind your back and go out in a blaze if you have to. Otherwise, you ain't shit. You might as well be dead
your damn self.
Trying to tell me I ain't shit? I ain't trying to tell you shit. I tell your mama you ain't shit.
Bonfire.
I am your king now.
And final bravo. Très fort, très fort. Okay. Welcome et bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzak on Twitter, B Dot Black on TikTok, aka Mr. Shut Up Podcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. Hey! Aw, where are you? Hey! No. Oh, fuck it, too late. Where's that sound? Okay, whatever. Hi, Be Black, it's your fucking podcast. Do what you want. All right, before I start the show, I want to remind you, returning listeners, that this podcast, nice try, but it's still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. That means Rouge et Bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on June 21st, 2023. Yo, Summer is out there talking about, allow me to reintroduce myself. It's hot out there. It's fucking hot. And it's, I mentioned this on a Wednesday, midweek episode, and 8:26 p.m. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then I'm sorry, but fuck you too. That's all right. Yeah, I'm proud of myself. I'm a little proud of that little intro on B Blizzak on Twitter, B Dot Black on TikTok. Yeah. Did I start? Yeah, okay. Yeah, good for me, man. You know, sometimes you got to take the time to pat yourself on the back when you do something right. But yeah, let's get with this, man. I'm going to rush this show here. I'm going to rush this intro. For those who are, you know, not used to this podcast, intro, there's three acts to this podcast. First act is the intro, where I like to call it like foreplay. And second is news and random thoughts. And last is final thoughts. All right. So let's just do a quick intro where I just say some shit like, happy twice belated Juneteenth. Shout out to my black American siblings and happy Juneteenth to you, to y'all. No, in Canada, we don't have Juneteenth. I remember, what's embarrassing is I had to go on Twitter to remember. Like, I wish I remembered to mean mug white people that day. But then again, I'm on a MS team call, so we can't mean mug. Anyways, I just wish I would have, like, acknowledged Juneteenth better. Yeah. Monday, right. So since I last recorded. Yeah, okay, I'm going to straight out and say it straight out the gate. I had a really fucked up, and I mean fucked up therapy session, and the kind of therapy session, not in a bad way,
But it was more like in, like, you know, one day you come in straight, next thing you know, you come out gay, kind of thing like that. You know what I mean? It was like transforming. It's like, you know, one second I'm like, I hate Jehovah's Witnesses. Now I'm like turned into a Jehovah's Witness. Okay, it wasn't that serious, but I feel like a significant, here's where things get complicated, is I don't know, one, I don't know how to explain it, and two, I don't know how much I want to share on this podcast with a bunch of fucking strangers. So all I know is whatever I do decide sharing with y'all, it's going to be in final thoughts. All right? And what else? So, yeah, speaking of tapping myself on the back, usually on Wednesdays, you know, after work, I record late. And then after I do some Uber Eats. And I Uber Eats, fuck, man, this economy, shit is getting expensive, man. I'm starting to feel it in my pocket. Times are getting hard, man. Fuck. At this rate, I will hijack Delta. But being it's we're in Canada, I'm hijacking WestJet. Yeah. My point is times are hard. Times are hard. I'm ready to vote for the next politician who promises me a good payday. It's that hard. Like, I'm going to get angry at immigrants that hard, kind of shit like that. It's, you know, like, I'm going to have to sell drugs. We have to sell drugs. I don't get it. I'm sorry, man. Times are getting hard. Anyways, so I couldn't afford. So, but the good part is I forced myself to cook before recording this podcast. So, thank you. Follow your dreams, kids. Follow your dreams. So, what screwed up is I'm still hungry. But whatever, man. I cooked before, and that's where we're at. Anyways, whatever. Okay, let's jump to news and random thoughts, because, like I said, it's a big week episode. It's a school night, and it's a school night. I got a curfew. So, let's do this, all right? So, here we go. Bam, bam. I love that sound. Gets me hyped. Okay, first item on the rundown sheet. Yo, I discovered this artist not too long ago, actually on TikTok. But I'm going to make it really brief. He's a French rapper. So no, his name is Nixa. And I discovered him for a track called Chasse à l'Aube. And it's, I don't know, every once in a while in hip hop, a new artist will come to me and I'll watch them and I'll be like, wow, he's cool. I want to join his gang. I want to be down with him. And yeah, homie made a good impression on me, man. I'm just going to play a small clip, the chorus of this track called Chasse à l'Aube. Ça me fait rire, man. Ça, not fait rire, but yeah, ça me fait rire. It goes like this. Oh, putain de merde. Non.
Top mon pote, on vend la top mon pote.
On vend la weed.
Ma mère ne travaille plus, quelque part j'suis ravi. OJ couche sur le bloc,
oui.
Ça sonne sur mon phone.
Allô,
j'reçois un coup de fil.
C'est qui?
Les ennemis veulent un bail.
Ah bon?
Sur la vie de ma mère.
J'arrive,
ils ont pas compris.
Hein?
Ramène mon fusil.
Ramène.
Ils reviendront jamais.
Oh right, this is the best part.
Balle dans la tête. Shoot. Balle dans la tête. Shoot.
Balle dans la tête.
Shoot. Shoot.
Balle dans la tête.
Yo man, fuck. I funny thing, I had this track stuck in my head on Thursday, last Thursday, yes. Only now that I'm speaking about them. And it's fucked up because I work with French people. So I had to mumble, shoot, balle dans la tête, shoot, balle dans la tête. You know, I can't have these white folks thinking that I'm violent. Anyway, whatever. Here's the funny part. Here's the most embarrassing part. Yo, apparently, I can see my younger cousins laughing at me. But apparently, yo, this track is old. Well, 6 years old. According to this profile, this track was uploaded 6 years ago. Damn. Yeah, I'm fucking... Look, I'm old. I'm 48. I ain't got time to fucking follow trends. So whatever is new to you is... Whatever's new to me is likely old to you. Deal with it. Deal with it. All right. So yeah, Nixa. Again, links will be in the show notes. Links to this artist, to this video in particular, will be in the show notes. Shoot, badalatat. Shoot, badalatat. Yeah. This is going on random thoughts. I had the thoughts while leaving therapy and listening to Warning by Biggie Smalls. Two observations I feel need to make, right? It's a dope track. I'm not going to diss it, right? First one is, Warning. Biggie's got a good friend, man. He's got a really good friend. First, the track starts out with his homie calling him and said, yup, Peep Game, just niggas that want to shoot you down. You know what I mean? Niggas want to stick you for your papers. And how he responds is like, yo, I got the Mac, tell me what you want to do. And you know what I mean? Like his friend volunteers himself to help him out. Look, I tell you what, man. There's not a friend here. And maybe that's my problem, man. I don't think I have a friend now. I mean, yeah, no. Let me think this through, right? Well, first of all, I don't have any fucking friends who I need to worry about that I need to call them and warn them that, hey, people are coming to kill you. You know, that's number one. What I was about to say is, I don't know if I have any friends that if I call them to say that niggas are trying to kill you, I would volunteer myself to be like, okay, all right, I got my little six shooter, my little pistol that I can't shoot. How can I help? So I'm just saying, I admire that Biggie has that kind of friendship, has those kind of friends that would not just warn him about a caper, but they would also volunteer themselves to have his back. Like, don't get me wrong. Hey, no, I'm not into betrayal. I'm loyal. You know what I mean? Like, I'll help a friend move. I'll help them, I might lend some money, you know, shit like that. But people are coming to kill you. I got your back. I mean, I'll lend you my phone so you could call 911. How about that? How about that? You know, that's where I go. But I ain't showing up with my little bat and say, yo, let's get these niggas. It ain't like that. But that's first observation. Second observation, right? And this is just me being sensitive, but I just realized in this track, and you know what? I might turn this shit into a sermon, unless, assuming someone doesn't steal this idea first, right? But the fact that I'm listening to, now I remember, and this is kind of linked to my final thought here, right? But I was realizing that nowhere in this track Warning, Biggie like expresses any sort of grief at the fact that people are upset that he's successful. Think about it. I want you to reflect on it, right? Think about it. Usually is don't hate, participate. High five, right? If you went out there, you graduated from high school, how would you feel if someone would be like, yo, fuck that nigga, man. He ain't shit. He thinks he's smarter than us. I mean, your best friend was like hating on you because it hurt your feelings. No? Or is it just me? I'm just saying, one, it would hurt my feelings. Two, and this is the part that's kind of serious, is in no way, like, he doesn't have a verse about how people are coming to kill him, except for, damn, niggas want to stick me for my papers. Damn, niggas want to stick me for my papers. Damn, niggas want to stick me for my paper. And damn, niggas want to stick me for my paper. Fourth time, I checked it out. I looked up the lyric. They heard about the Rolexes and the Lexus. But what I love is how he goes from, damn, niggas want to stick me for my paper. And then, time to go to war. Time to start bucking. Time to get ready. Feed them gunpowder so they can devour the criminals. Trying to drop my decibels. Yeah. I'm just saying, because this was a conversation I had with my therapist, and I didn't realize I was admitting that. I hate these moments, right? I didn't realize that. All right, fucking confession, right? I didn't realize this. I didn't realize it's only when I find myself saying this out loud, but turns out I have a fear of success. I'm fear of being successful. I have a fear of being the target of people's envy. I have a fear of people being like, look at this. Who the fuck does this nigga be? Yeah, pointing fingers at me being, yo, fuck that. You are the symbol. You symbolize all my failures. I don't know where it came from. I can't elaborate on it. I can't speak about it. All I know is I could just acknowledge the fact that I have this fear of success. So my version of Warning would have been like, damn, niggas want to stick me for my paper. Time to move town. I'm just saying, Warning is kind of an inspirational track about how not letting the haters, being prepared for the haters. Like, accepting the fact that you're going to have haters, and then fuck them. There's going to be a lot of slow slinging and flower bringing if the bigger little alarm starts ringing. You know what I mean? Like, there's a part that I can preach in there about how not to, you know, shoot down your haters. Kill your haters. I guess that's what it's all about. Kill your haters. Anyway, this concludes my observation about the track Warning by Biggie Smalls. You know what kills me is I shared that observation on Twitter and no one liked it. Fuck them. That's what I got this podcast for. Next on the... So the next item on the rundown sheet made me laugh once I read it, right? And I did mention it's June 21st. So if you're coming back in time, if you're from the future, traveling in time, if you're like, if you're listening to this podcast sometime in the future, getting ready to travel back in time to June 21st, June 21st, 2023. I don't know how the story will be presented to you in the front, but. I'm sorry. The big topic of discussion is those five. So this is what I wrote. I wrote tourists, the Titanic, and the missing tourists. Okay, so what's the story? I had a best summary. Okay, I'm gonna try to summarize that as best as I can. Nah, fuck it, man. Fuck facts. Bunch of rich billionaires paid a ticket to go in this $250,000 US, I'm assuming, to go in this submarine, like a submarine. They say submarine. That shit looks like a fucking cylinder, like a tube, man. It's no bigger. It's as big as a van. If you're from the future, you probably don't have vans. Whatever, right? It's as big as like a rental van from U-Haul, right? The one that the kidnapper ones, yeah, it's that large, that kind of size, and okay. Look, I'm going to acknowledge. Maybe I should trigger alert. Maybe I should warn you that you know by this time, if you don't know me by now, yeah. If I have to warn you that I'm not going to treat this story, it's a tragedy, yes, but it's fucking funny as well. One is okay, look, apparently, $250,000, they get to travel at the bottom of the ocean, I don't know how far that, to see the Titanic, where it sank, the wreckage of the Titanic, right? And you could have seen it, whatever. Look, if I had that kind of money, who knows the kind of bullshit. Look, hindsight is 2020. If they were successful, we'd be like, these niggas would have TED Talks. About how, yo, YOLO, you know, you got to take a risk. Oh, man, I felt like God watching the sinking of the, you know, it'd be a different story. Mistakes have. I'm laughing because apparently there's, maybe I should explain that the bottom of the ocean and they lost control and they lost contact with these people at the fucking bottom of the fucking ocean. Oh, man, that shit must be hell, man. I mean, like, ways to die. Shout out to the person on Twitter who asked the question. Well, how come they just don't open up the hatch and swing to the surface? Yeah, that's another thing too. Black Twitter ain't shit. Black Twitter ain't shit. I guess if you're in the future, I don't need to explain to you how some of us didn't take this story too seriously. Like I remember learning about the Titanic. And how that shit was a tragedy. There was no fucking laughter. They made a movie about that shit. And actually, shout out to my cousin Manush, my cousin Moo, who I was about to say her government name. That's why I'm whatever. Yeah. So I haven't cleared with her lawyers whether I could use her government name on this podcast. Anyways, yes, my cousin. sorry, we laugh together. Yeah, shout out to my cousin Moo. Every time she calls, it's always a treat. And we were just, I called her. It doesn't matter. Every time she gets in contact, it's always a treat. But my point is, we were just talking about that shit. And I remembered how we went to go see the movie Titanic in theaters together. I forgot why I'm bringing her up in this conversation. We were laughing at this shit. My cousin, she's like, "Qu'est-ce que voy hola?" That's Creole. Who the fuck sent you people down there, man? "Qu'est-ce que voy hola?" And yes, we were just laughing about the story. Again, tragedy. Thoughts and prayers. But fuck, yo, them niggas went down with apparently it's an Xbox controller. Yeah, man, they lost contact. Oh, this is why it's so difficult to find these people is because I've been following a lot on this story is. Oh, thank God I'm recording. right. All the equipment they have at the moment is surface equipment. It's like they figured if there was a failure, I guess there must have been some kind of automatic. They assumed that if there was any kind of failure, this motherfucking thing would come back to the surface and we'd pick them up by boats. You know, it'd be easy. Just one flashlight. Look, oh, there you are. Like in the movie. Exactly like in the Titanic movie, right? It's, we'd figure that. But what they didn't account for is this motherfucker dying in the bottom of the ocean. And they don't have equipment. All the equipments they have is they got like microphones, sonar devices. No, to see the surface. They that's all they could do. Right now they're starting to get equipment that allows them to hear what's under the surface. What time is it? 8:44 p.m. The latest news is they can hear some. The sonar device could pick up that kind of. Yeah, that's fucked up, man. If it could pick up that sound, what else could it pick up? There's a lot of clips. You know, I'm just gonna put a lot of in the show notes. There's a lot of the shit that I've went through, but I'm not gonna share everything on here because you know. Ain't got that kind of time. But the one article that I will share, one fact about this story that I will share is someone tweeted, no lie with Brian Taylor Cohen, no lie with BTC. Okay, yeah. I think I follow him. Anyway, it's a white dude in a suit. He always says, he's got facts. And he just shared this information. He said, recently shared this information. He goes, an employee for the company that made the Titanic submersible, brace yourself, was fired, doubting its ability to go extreme depth. Sorry, it's not funny. He discovered the window was only certified to go 1,300 meters, despite their plans to go, 4,000 meters. OceanGate didn't want to pay. Are you hearing this shit? Yo, I work on projects. I guess on one end, you know, no guts, no glory. I work on projects, my current job, I work on projects where we deploy shit, where we put applications on the web. Nothing I do will put me in the news. That's what I'm trying to say. There's nothing, like, I could fuck up, and the worst that can happen is but nothing I can, let's put it this way, man, that's a fuck up. The one, the accountant, whoever made that decision said, 4,000 meters, too expensive. Fuck that. Come on, man. We on a budget. Fuck that, man. I'm trying to pop bottles with models with that money. Yeah, you know, I'm just. Anyways, it's, what I'm getting at is we got managers who rush projects. We got processes in place, and we're like, yeah, no, before we can put your shit in production, before we can make it live, we need you to go through these processes. And these fucking project managers promised their A, whatever. Our competitors said they could do it in a month. We'll do it in a day. You know, they'll do shit like that. So they're like always trying to circumvent the process. What sucks is, is they get lucky. They usually get lucky. We're forced to put shit in production, violating our protocols. And you know, what about testing? Fuck testing. Man, fuck the brakes, man. Just put it out there. And every once in a while, they get lucky. They get their bonuses, and we're frustrated because our clients, don't want to respect protocols. But this poor bastard, man, he got fired for saying, "Hey, these windows ain't gonna make it." That's fucked up. It's fucked up, man. OceanGate. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait. In this picture, this looks like more. Oh, this looks more high tech. Anyway, some sad shit, man. Some sad shit. What else? What other story did I have? You know what really got my attention and why I'm able to be so, is the word candid or why I'm insensitive about these five billionaires that might die from this situation is someone wrote a think piece. Yeah, I'm just going to write that. And it goes by Kevin Clark. That someone's called Kevin Clark. And he wrote, a boat carrying 750 migrants capsized in the Mediterranean, La Méditerranée. Fuck, am I drunk? What's going on? Why can't you read? The tragedy reflects a worldwide refugee crisis. All right. And, hold on. Okay, this was June 20th. Okay, let me play this. Here we go. By play this, I mean my AI bot's gonna read this for me, for us. Here we go. Jesus Christ. Shoot, badalata.
A boat carrying 750 migrants capsized in the Mediterranean. The tragedy reflects a worldwide refugee crisis. Qasem ABOZ holds up a phone displaying a ABOZ AP photo. It will rank among the worst migrant catastrophes in recent Mediterranean history, second only to the loss of more than 1,000 people after the collision of a smuggling vessel and a freighter off the Libyan coast in April 2015. 2 hours after midnight on June 14, an overloaded fishing trawler capsized in international waters near Greece.
Damn.
More than 500 are believed to have perished with the sinking ship, including women and as many as 100 children who had been confined to its hold. Only 104 survivors were pulled from the water that morning. No women or children found among them, and 81 bodies have been recovered so far.
So far. All right, you know, I'm gonna okay, link will be in the show notes. But yeah, it just makes you think, man. It's like, yo, five folks tried to submit. I can't call it, man. I don't know. I mean, human beings, man. Human beings. It's like, I don't know if I could blame the media, because they're like, fuck, what, you know. They criticize, dumbed down to double my dollars. You criticize us for it. But yet y'all scream holler. My point is, I knew about this migrant. I knew about this shit. And I didn't give that story as much attention as I'm giving about these other dudes. But granted, this other story is making me laugh. The one, I guess that's why I'm being insensitive, is because, you know, no one cried for these kids. Yeah, that was depressing. That shit took a rough turn. All right, let me go with one last thing. Boat fired. David Prague. Yeah, David Prague signs the waiver. I'm just saying, thoughts and prayers, man. I'm gonna conclude this story with thoughts and prayers. I also have a few people who wrote jokes about that shit. And I'll be in the show notes, man. I'll leave it for you. Yeah, I'll be in the show notes. What else? Okay, let's move along, man. I spent enough time on the Titanic. Sink twice. Okay. I call this one, I labeled it as Black Guy in France. The article will be in, again, in the show notes. The label is Black Guy in France, but if you go to the article, it's called Breaking: Shocking Footage of African Man Brutally Attacking Woman and Little Girl in Bordeaux, France. All right. Okay. Long story short is, I guess it's a CCTV or one of the, yeah, CCTV, is that what it's called? CCTV or Ring Cam. And it captured, first it's this white lady, I point out, who's grandmother, she's with her daughter, granddaughter, and like probably 4 years old, whatever, man. It's, and then you see this black dude in the distance looking a little like suspicious, gotta say it, suspicious. And you can see the grandmother trying to get, tell the daughter go in the house. And that black dude rushes the door. He puts his feet, so he blocks the door. And yeah, man. And they just show he just, I don't know, he yanks the two ladies, the daughter and the grandmother. He yanks them, throws them outside. Now, one story says that he was trying to kidnap the little girl. But the other one said, but it looks like he was stealing. I don't know the details, but it turns out that he was known by the police. I guess he's a case. But the only reason I bring this story up is I remember when I first saw that clip of a dude do what he did. And my first thought should have been, oh, poor girl, man. Poor family. Nope, my first thought was, fuck, why does he have to be black? Then it went, fuck, they're going to hang that nigga. And I didn't say they're going to hang him like, oh, poor him. No. I mean, like, I don't know if you've read the book, what was it called again? Hold on a second. Is it Bigger Thomas? The name of that book was Character in the Novel, Native Son. Yeah. Okay, you know what? I don't know if I'm spoiling this. But anyway, there's a description about a black dude killing a white woman in there. And I remember getting to that part of the story. I remember feeling that same feeling. I mean, like, oh, fuck, man. How you gonna make a story out of that shit? Because as a black person, I know how, you know, that instinctive feeling. Like, it's kind of like, You're not responsible for that person's action, but yet society looks at you like, oh, why the fuck you let your relatives out? Like I was worried I was going to show up to work and people are going to be like, you know, fucking niggers, fucking violent, whatever, man. You're like, it's all these, look, it's, what I'm saying is, this story is a tragedy within a tragedy. It's a tragedy beyond tragic, man. French politicians are using this story to be able to say shit like, oh, my France has died. Oh, fuck this new France, man. These fucking immigrants. Blah, blah. Basically, the same playbook. Yo, these niggas are coming from our wives. You know, that's how you get elections, man. You scare white people with that shit. Look, I'm just saying I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this story. I'm just going to say it's a fucking tragedy within a tragedy. It's expounded by the fact that this dude's black. And here's the thing. The asshole who did it, I don't think he's thinking about, yeah, fuck it, man. I'm going to make black folks look bad. I just think he's fucked up a human being. But the fact that he's a black fucked up human being gets compounded. It's not like when white people commit, when a white person commits that kind of crime, it's like, hey, let's focus on him, his upbringing. When a black person does it, it's like all black people are this guy. Anyways, yeah. But luckily, I didn't get any, I may have gotten any, okay, I forget. I don't go through the office as frequently as I used to. But I remember back in when we had to go, when I worked 5 days a week, after a story like that, I'd be like walking with my back against the wall, waiting for a lynch mob to be like, let's get that nigger. Anyway, yeah. Yes, it's in Canada. Yes. I know the story is all the way in France. Yes. White people are all connected together when these kind of tragedies happen. All right. This is a new addition to the Rundown Sheet, but it's called, I call it, oh man, hashtag, it's a good thing I'm not on camera. Oh my God. Sorry. Oh my God. There's a demon in my nose. Okay, sorry. Where was I? Yeah, hashtag cis is not a slur. You know why that's trending right now? It's because Elon Musk, I fucking hate that guy, man. I'm invested too much. Yes, okay. I hate that guy. I'm just going to leave it at that. I fucking hate that guy. I don't know whether it's an act or whether he's truly an asshole, but I hate that guy. But, you know, that's the reality I got to accept. I hate him like I hated Trump. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, not like I hope a decision he makes causes him, like, financial ruin. It's like, I'm ruined. Oh, my God. Being an asshole cost me money. Like, that kind of hate, you know? Anyways, yeah. Where was I going? Yeah, okay, so Elon Musk, it's like he needed to find a new way to get on my nerves, and then he tweeted some shit about how the term cis is a racial slur. Now, did I play it on this podcast? This homegirl on TikTok broke down a perfect explanation of cis. And the definition, for you who don't know, cis as in cisgender, right? A cisgender, in brackets, sometimes shortened to cis, sometimes cissexual, person has, a cisgender person has a gender identity that matches their sex assigned at birth. Now, some of you assholes call that shit be normal, but no, the reality is, cisgender is like saying frozen yogurt. It's just being more specific. It's like, it's sure, the fucking Bible made it sound like being cisgendered is normal, but it just means that there's on one end of the spectrum there's cisgender, and on the other end is transgender. It's, you know, it's the way I would look at it is when that's exactly what it is. I love this analogy. I'm gonna use it for myself, and since it's my podcast, I'm gonna leave it. It's, I remember in the old days, phone numbers had 7 digits. 613 was assumed. All right? It was just fucking assumed. Right? So apparently before it was 5 digits, but I won't get into that. Right? But yeah. So phone numbers, anytime you ask for a phone number, 7 digits only. But as Ottawa got bigger, as it expanded, as they started to run out of phone numbers, they had to start specifying 613 in your phone number. 7 digits went to 10 digits. Yeah, phones used to accept you putting 7 digits because they assumed that if you didn't specify the first 3 digits, then you must be calling someone in Ottawa, right? So when we say gender, people assume that it was gender. When people talk about gender, the cisgender was the fucking norm. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, man. Like cisgender was the norm, just like 7-digit was the norm. As Ottawa got bigger, as we started to use, we needed to run out of phone, as we ran out of phone numbers, and we had 613, and now we have 343. So now, phone systems obligated you to use the extra digits to specify your motherfucking area code. My point is, as we learn more about this fucking world that we live in, it would make sense to be more specific in our language and say, okay, there's cisgender and there's just transgender. And of course, there's a lot of idiots out there resistant to change. Just like with the phone number change, there was people who were just fucking resistant to that change. And it drives me nuts. Oh, sorry. That was my cousin Boo responding to a tweet. Several tweets that I said about the Titanic. Anyway, yeah. Laughing my ass off. Where was I going with this? Yeah, anyway, so Elon Musk being an asshole. And shout out to the... Now, I didn't want to give Elon Musk any props or any mention, but I just wanted to explain to why hashtag cis is not a slur is trending. And someone on... I'll specify the person is... appeared in my timeline. It's called Critical Cupcake. And they posted... a message, you know, hashtag cis is not a gender, cis and gender, hashtag cisgender. And they wrote this nice message that says, nobody thinks cis is a slur. They just say it to try to invalidate the discussions on gender that support trans people. And I love that. I love when people post stuff that inspires me to write the compliment, to add to what they said, to like I'm agreeing and this is being used by said. And I responded with, calling the term cis a slur is like saying BLM is racist. I've fucking been there. And this is where I'm going with this is their intention is to let you know that they are unwilling or unable to have an intelligent, mutually beneficial conversation about their privilege. Motherfuckers who do All Lives Matter, deny the Holocaust. It's like the facts are in front of you, but they basically it's their way of saying, I don't have to listen to this shit. Fuck your struggle. Suffer. Die. I'm privileged and life is beautiful. That I don't want to change shit because my privilege keeps me comfortable. It's basically any asshole who says cis is a slur is just being a fucking asshole. That's my point. They're just being an asshole, they ain't shit. And Elon Musk, yeah, you know, congratulations. It's like you were looking for ways to piss off people and you did it. Whatever, man. But we will fight you. All right. Okay, this was in the news on Monday, too, is Jonathan Majors. Now, I didn't talk about his, for those who know, you know, oh, my God, there was a few episodes about how I admire Jonathan Majors because, you know, he was a man's man talking about being sensitive. And then fast forward, then accusations came out about how domestic violence shit, man, he hits women. That's the accusation. And what's fucked up is more than one woman has made that accusation. That's what I didn't want to comment on it because I didn't know much about it. And because it's a tragedy because he was a hero. Holy shit. Man, you know what? I had a realization this week that everyone... I go through life saying people ain't shit. I hate the world. Maybe that's why this podcast is not going to pop because I kind of have a hatred for the world at the moment. And aside from everything. But it just hit me. In the end, people will disappoint you. And I include myself in that. Like, I worry about being a star, about being revered by many people because I know that even I, it's part of human nature. Even I will be constantly worried about disappointing people. But long story short, yeah, so Jonathan Majors is... the moral of the story is don't love anything. Don't love anyone, including me. Yeah, no. So, yeah, long story short, this is why I'm... Holy fuck, this is a long story. All I'm trying to say is He was accused of domestic violence, and recently he showed up to court. And I don't know if you heard about this, but at the same time, he's dating Megan Good. Fine-ass Megan Good. If you don't know who Megan Good is, you might want to Google her picture. Anyway, fine-ass black woman. Now, what gets me about it is, so there was a video circulating about him walking into court, holding hands with Megan Good. And what kills me about this whole thing, right, is how I remember when I was unemployed and my last thought is getting a girlfriend. I don't know, man. I had a moment that, yo, me and Jonathan Major are not the same. I don't just mean that he's ripped and cut and all that shit, but we are not the same. I was unemployed. The thought of picking up, getting a girlfriend never crossed my mind. This dude is facing domestic violence allegation and he gets a girlfriend. A kind of girlfriend who walks with him, holding hand in hand in court. Now, here's the thing. There's a possibility, because I'm seeing a lot of details about this case that's coming out. And there's a chance he might beat this case. Okay, I'm about to make a bad joke. Yeah, there's a chance he might beat this case. And shout out to you comedians who jumped and made the joke for me. And the story, it's going to be a beautiful story if he beats this case. And it's going to be a beautiful story for him and Megan Good about the black woman who stood by this black man who was unjustly persecuted by the media. Shame on y'all, you know. But that's only if he wins. I'm just saying, I don't trust Hollywood couples. This is really where I'm going with this, man. I don't trust Hollywood couples, I think. Both PR teams said, yo, this is how we gonna twist this story to our advantage. But still, back to my joke. It's gonna be a bit. It might be a bit. But it just kills me that Jonathan Majors are not the same. Me and Jonathan Majors, we are not the same. I can't get a girl while I'm unemployed. Actually, let me ask you, fellas. All you men in a relationship, when you got with your girl, were you at your lowest low? Actually, it's a question for, maybe I'm going to ask this on Ask Reddit. Men who've gotten their girlfriend at their lowest low, coming out of prison, going into prison, after a DUI, after losing your job. After being the idiot responsible for the Ocean Gate. My bad. I forgot to fucking carry the one. It was my fault. Let's say you're solely responsible. Like, let's say the motherfucking responsible for the Ocean Gate jury. and managed to get a girlfriend after that. How the fuck did you do it, man? I guess I'm saying women who find beauty in men while they're in their lowest low, or men who have the audacity to go out on Tinder, dating, looking for a girlfriend during their lowest low. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying, I remember when I was at my lowest low and the last thing on my mind was getting a girlfriend. All right, okay. All right, let's go. Okay, you know, I'm not going to read this article, but it makes me feel good because I went from Jonathan Majors to now I'm going to go with, is this long? How long is this? Yeah, fuck it. Hold on. Is this up? No, it's not. Okay, let's go, all right. Social media star Andrew Tate charged with rape and human trafficking in Romania. It's about fucking time. Good for him, man. You're my football team, man. All right, let's go. Okay. Audio bot. AI bot, read this shit.
Social media star Andrew Tate charged with rape and human trafficking in Romania. Mm. Bucharest, Romania, AP, Andrew Tate, a social media personality known for expressing misogynistic views online, was charged in Romania with rape, human trafficking, and forming a criminal gang to exploit women, prosecutors said Tuesday.
I want to be clear. All that shit, all that thing I was saying about Elon Musk, if the two was drowning, I'd probably help Elon Musk. I hate Andrew Tate. Him, I have no problem saying I hate that motherfucker. At least what he symbolized, everything he stands for. But here we go.
prosecutors also filed charges against Tate's brother, Tristan, and two Romanian women in a court in Bucharest, Romania's capital, the nation's anti-organized crime agency said. In a statement, the Directorate for Investigating Organized Crime and Terrorism alleged the four defendants formed a criminal group in 2021 in order to commit the crime of human trafficking in Romania as well as the United States and Britain. The agency alleged that seven female victims were misled and transported to Romania, where they were sexually exploited and subjected to physical violence by the gang.
That's sad.
One defendant is accused of raping a woman twice in March 2022, according to the statement.
Yeah.
Tate, 36, has resided in Romania since 2017. The former professional kickboxer has repeatedly claimed Romanian prosecutors have no evidence and alleged the case is a political conspiracy designed to silence him.
Fuck you.
Tate's spokesperson, Maddie A. Petrescu, said Tuesday that the brothers were prepared to demonstrate their innocence and vindicate their reputation. The two men are expected to attend a hearing in Bucharest on Wednesday morning, she added. Tate's legal team are prepared to cooperate fully with the appropriate authorities, presenting all necessary evidence to exonerate the brothers and expose any misinterpretations or false accusations, Petrescu said. Under Romanian law, a judge has up to 60 days to assess the files in the case before defendants are sent to trial. The Tate brothers, who are dual British-US citizens, and the two Romanian suspects were detained in late December in Bucharest. The brothers won an appeal on March 31st to be moved from police custody to house arrest.
All right, fuck them niggas. You know what? I'm wasting too much time. They ain't going to jail, man. The only funny part, the funny part about this is how this dumb nigga talked about how he, the reason he went to Romania is so he wouldn't get arrested for this shit. And I guess Romanian police said that, oh, you think? Oh, so you fought? What do you think? This shit, like, what do you think? This is the Titanic that can't sink? Anyway, yeah, animal, whatever, man. I wish their punishment was send them down $13,000, 13,000 feet in the water. Whatever, whatever. I'll just make a bad joke about Ocean Gate joke, but that should be their punishment. Yeah, fuck them niggas, man. Fuck them niggas. All right, okay. I just noticed the time, so I'm going to kind of rush this. The last, all right, so I mentioned it was Happy Juneteenth. I'm going to leave this article in the, I mean, this think piece in the show notes, and I like what he says is basically it goes against the idea that the Black Americans didn't fight for their freedom. I hate, yeah, white people like to act like, yeah, man, white people died to end slavery. And I put it this way. If you had that kind of ignorance, you should not be listening to this podcast. Anyway, yeah, so this opinion piece goes, Lincoln and the Union did not end slavery. Black soldiers and abolitionists did. And, yeah, I'll let you read the rest. But, yeah, no, black soldiers fought in that war, man. Fought with the Union. But, yeah, but no. And the soldiers, I'm just saying, black Americans and abolitionists, black American soldiers and abolitionists, fought for that freedom to end slavery. They don't get the credit for it. Anyways, happy Juneteenth. Happy belated Juneteenth. All right, let's jump to, I must be hungry. Okay, let's jump to final thoughts and we can get the fuck out of here, all right? Okay, let's go. Right. Oh, the reason why using random thought was so long is because I knew. Okay, I anticipated to make final thoughts kind of short, but let's see how I do. Because I like to talk. Just like to talk. Okay. All right. First one is, this came from an actual random thought from Reddit. And it goes, I like this one. It goes, if I die today, I don't think anyone would cry for me. And the only reason I post this is I said, okay, wait. The copy says, I would like to clarify that I'm not dying. My mental health hasn't been really good in the past month, and I have been really stressed out. I was thinking of SH, is that Swiss? But didn't. I've been clean for 4 months, and okay, look, the only reason I shared this is because I remember reading this. I'm not in that situation, but I did find myself saying, I wouldn't give a fuck. I don't really care. Like, that's my mindset right now, right? I don't. There's something about death. Like, most of the people, I don't know, man. George Floyd fucked me up, man. I know it was 2020, but I've just found myself thinking of No, you know what? I just found myself, I'm getting older. And I have, for those who don't know, I've had two therapists. And my first one reminded me, I was in my 20s when I was seeing her. And I remember her telling me that when you get old, my age now, you'll be lucky if you could count with one hand your real friends. And the key is real friends. That includes family members too. Real friends, people that you bond with, people that, like, blood is thicker than water. No, what is it? Blood is like the blood of the covenant. Hold on a second. What's the expression? My point is, like that Judy Watley sound. Friends are hard to find. Yeah. I don't know, man. A relationship with people. I'm going through this fuck the world phase right now. And my first thought when I read this is, sure, people might cry, but I don't give a fuck. I really don't care, man. Show up, don't show up. I say this because I'm going to be in a box, or likely I'm kind of hoping I'll be not crucified. Flame there. Flame on. Shredded. Not shredded, but I'm running out of words. Cremated. Jesus Christ. Right. My point is, I won't give a fuck. That's just what I'm just trying to say. Will not give a fuck. Because this life is, like Tupac said, don't shed a tear for me, nigga. I ain't happy here. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not a cry for help. I'm just saying this fucking life is I don't know. It's like the bad people are winning. That I guess that's what I'm going through that phase right now. Bad folks, like the Elon Musk of the world, are fucking winning. That's it. Maybe I need to. I'm working on it, man. Look, I'm a work in progress. I'm gonna leave it at that. Work in progress. Right? And the thing when I say that, I've been explaining that to all the wrong people. There are people who can identify with that sentiment and still be nice people. Like, I'm not out there being mean, saying, I'm just saying my capacity to love is damaged. I guess that's what I'm like. I'm not like what's his name? Not Armstrong. Hold on a second. What a Wonderful World. That guy. Oh, come on, man. Wonderful World. Okay. Louis Armstrong. Jesus Christ. Yeah, man. I used to. Oh, my God. Yes, this is how it changed, man. An older version of me, or a younger version of me, would have used to love that song and believe that part where he says, I see trees are green, red are rose, to see them blue. For me and you, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, there was a time where I would sing that song with and mean it. Now I'm like, fuck the world. They say that I don't care. Right, yeah. And when I say this, I should only share that sentiment with people who understand what I mean. As opposed to motherfuckers who want to be like, oh man, what the fuck, man? What do you got to hate the world? People are beautiful. It's like, yeah. Anyways. Life will challenge you, man. Life will change your perspective. If life hasn't changed your perspective, I don't trust people who are always happy. I guess that's what I'm getting at. And yeah, these Care Bear types and shit like that. Life is beautiful, like rose-colored eyes. Like, I need you to go through hell and then talk that life is beautiful. I've seen hell. Yes, I know what it's like. I know it can be tough. And this is how I managed to fall in love with the world again. I want to talk to that person. Not you motherfuckers who haven't gone through any kind, or who gone through some minimal, who haven't been actually challenged by the world. I mean, challenged to the point where you were brought to your knees, where you were like contemplating suicide, where you were like, you know what? Shooting up the school would be, and then killing myself would be a good idea. I want to talk to that person who's had those thoughts. And then it's like, yeah, life is beautiful. Common, the rapper Common, he's got a line. He goes, the preacher, fuck, how's it going? He goes, the preacher who used to be a crack, no, who used to be an addict. Basically, I want to hear from the preacher who used to be the drug addict. Whoa, don't get me wrong, man. Not the one who's like, oh shit, there's a better scam. I want, like Malcolm X, I've seen hell. I have every reason to hate the world, and this is why I don't. That's who I want to talk to. Not you fucking no life experience type fucks. And then, yeah. Because that's who I used to be, by the way. Anyway, all right. So, yeah, I like that random thought. Next one was, how's it go? I agree with this one. Sometimes living your best life means staying away from people. Random thoughts. I agree, man. I agree. I'm saying a shot at anyone, but I'm just saying sometimes you just gotta look. I'm a firm believer in if someone tells you they're single, leave them the fuck alone. Don't be, oh, I got a friend to hook you up with. No. It's like that video I shared with y'all. It's that woman who's in a salsa club, or no, I think she was in a salsa concert, and this white lady, and she was just like in the moment, dancing to the music. And dancing to the music, like, you know, properly and shit, and reciting the song, sing along with the artist. But you could tell she was having the best time. And I remember watching this, and my first thought was, oh, poor her, she's single. And then catching myself and realizing, fuck, man, look how happy she is, man, and shit like that. Like, I'm not speaking against being in a relationship. I'm saying if she does hook up with someone, it's someone who can share that moment with them. Not some asshole who's like, babe, can we leave? Why you take me to this Hispanic club? You know what I mean? Like, motherfuckers just drink. Like, some person she's with because she feels that she can't do any better. You know what I mean? Okay, I guess what I'm trying to say is I have not met a lot of people who have actual partners that they're sharing their life with. They're sharing their happiness with. I haven't met a lot of people like that. I just met a lot of people who are in relationship just because they're scared to be alone. And I ain't trying to be that. And this is where I'm going with. Sometimes living your best life means staying away from people, especially fake people. All right. What else did I have? Okay. All right. Now, the last one. The kind of person. What did I write this? Person you were before. Oh, wow. Okay, holy shit. It's like I wrote in my own handwriting. Okay, where I'm going with this is, so yes. Last therapy session fucked me up, man. And we're not going into too much details. Well, I guess I could say is I got a better view of what my demons are. Like, I thought I knew, but it was like, let's go with, okay, how do I start this? It's, that therapy session was real because, okay, have you seen the movie, A Beautiful Mind? If not, I'm about to spoil it for you, man. If that, click off if you want to see it, but Ron Jeremy and Russell Crowe. Oh, man, this is the second Russell Crowe reference I'm about to make. Damn, it's warm here. All right, okay, yes. I just remember I turned off the AC. Anyways, yeah. I had a moment where, so in the movie Beautiful Mind, it's a movie about schizophrenia, and Ron Jeremy in this movie did something genius and basically made the audience feel what it's like to have schizophrenia. And the movie starts out with, there's the main character, and he's got three friends or three people he's associated with. And later at the end of the movie, plot twist, he makes you realize that these people didn't actually exist. It's like being fooled by the narrator, right? So you realize that these people didn't actually exist. And that's what the experience of being schizophrenia is, how you hear voices in your head and they appear so fucking real. And I've been aware of the power of the mind. I've always been aware, especially, you know, after doing drugs. Like, oh, wow, wait a minute. So I can smoke this shit, I can swallow this shit, and it's pretty much like falling in love? Like, I've always been aware of the power of the mind, but in this particular session, I just realized, no, I don't have schizophrenia, but this demon called fear, I realize how fucking real it is. Like, I never took the time to check myself with dealing with fear. Maybe people, like, the way I'm about to explain it, I'm explaining it to myself because most of you won't understand it, but just had a moment where she was talking. It wasn't during the session. Like, it took 3 days to realize, and it's like for the first time, you know what it is? It's like an invisible man. and someone threw la farine, flour on him. And you could see this boogeyman walking around. Now, what I thought was a normal voice, it's like I was able to see fear, the outrace, walking, the personification of, it's like I was able to be like, oh, shit. What I thought was normal thoughts, but that's actually fear talking. What made this session fucked up? It's just, it's like for the first time, it's like for the first time I was able to say, you know, actually, what's it, Eckhart Tolle, fuck, these people and these names, whatever, right? The dude from Vancouver, psychologist from Vancouver who wrote The Power of Now. Anyway, yeah, that guy. And in that book, he says, was it the great, I'm paraphrasing, but the biggest illusion trick we play on ourselves is believing that the thinker is the word of the thinker, when the truth is we're beyond the thinker. What I'm trying to say is, yes, I'm aware of my thoughts, but the one thoughts I never took the time to make myself aware of is the one that's saying, yo, fuck, duck down, be scared, run, don't trust that, don't trust him, don't trust her, don't fucking, you ain't shit, like that motherfucker. That's what, and it was just like, if for the first time I'm like, asshole, I see you now. I now see you. And look, it was a profound discovery. And, but it's the kind of, it's the kind of discovery that, explaining it won't make sense. Cause to the other people, you know, it's kind of like, it's like a foundation. I can see the foundation, but to the people on the outside, they won't see what I'm looking at. Yeah. You know what? It's too fucked up to explain. It's so fucked up to explain that if someone said, yo, I don't understand what you mean, I'd be like, no, you don't understand. That's what it'd be like. And that's why I wasn't sure whether to make a topic, because I'm trying to explain something that I can only make sense to myself. But all I know is three things happened after the therapy session. The first one was I found myself making a, creating a playlist. There's a tradition sometimes I do. I create a playlist usually after a therapy session. Or when I feel shit, right? I created a playlist and it had to reflect my mood. And the first one was the tracks that I put in that playlist. Well, I called it Voices in My Head. Maybe I'll share it with you. Maybe I'll make it public, but right now it's private. And it's called Voices in My Head. And tracks on it are like Straight Jacket by Kool G Rap, 3 AM by Eminem, Suicidal Thoughts by Biggie. You know what? Let me pull it up. I feel the need, but it's like I can't put into words what I'm trying to say, but I am by expressing this. But this playlist pretty much where my mindset was at. Okay, hold on a second. You know, I should create a bookmark for this shit. YouTube music. Dang. Right. And the playlist. It's a very powerful playlist. But Mind's Playing Tricks on Me by, there it is. Okay. Voices in My Head. 9 tracks in there. Kool G Rap. This track here.
Yeah, those down.
I'm seeing lots of spots. I'm thinking of pink elephants with little polka dots. I'm tired, crazy, tired, but I cannot get night's sleep. Anyway, my favorite line goes, voices in my head are telling me to kill you. Yeah. Where is it again? Yeah, okay. So, yeah. So, Straight Jacket. I love that track by itself. It's an unpopular track, but I love it. Straight Jacket by Kool G Rap. It's not streaming, but I do have the cassette. 3 a.m. by Eminem. Lose My Mind by Young Buck. Death Around the Corner by Tupac. Mind's Playing Tricks on Me by Ghetto Boys. Going Crazy by Jeezy. Die by Beanie Siegel. Suicidal Thoughts. Oh, Fear by Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, it all revolves around the... I was explaining three things. So I created the playlist, right? Second thing that happened, I had a realization. Is a profound realization is how if you have a friend who's in, no, it's not just having a friend. I realize that an expectation you can't make. I had an ex-girlfriend who was in therapy, and I'm like, yo, this therapy ain't working for this bitch because she's crazy. And I was wrong for thinking that because it hit me. It's like when someone tells you they're in therapy, the last thing you should do is expect them to be your version of their better self. Okay, assuming you're with a good therapist, of course, right? And because some folks can't see, like, you know, therapist knows it's like, oh shit, I gotta talk this motherfucker off. Like, your whole therapy session is just might just be your therapist talking you off the ledge. Poor lady. Or poor therapist, poor professional, right? That's every therapy session is like, ah, don't kill yourself, don't do it, whatever. And then they still act like idiots when you meet them. But I guess what I'm saying is, when someone tells you, I've made that mistake before, but when someone tells you they're in therapy, the last thing you should do is, I mean, yes, you do expect them to get better, but to become better people, but they're going to be their version of better. You don't know what demon they're fighting with their therapist. And I guess my problem is I used to assume that because someone's in therapy, that made them a better person. And the truth is, I don't know what demon you're fighting back there. So don't be too quick to assume, it's funny. Don't be too quick to dismiss someone who's in therapy, and don't be too quick to embrace someone who's in therapy. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. Because you don't know what demons are fighting. The third thing that happened is a realization that therapy is the one place. Like I said, I've been there twice. And where I pay a professional to show me a kindness or a patience. More importantly, grant me a patience that I grew up believing I didn't deserve. It's a patience that has allowed me to like think this through, process things through, to realize, oh shit, okay, maybe I should change this behavior. I grew up with nothing but impatient people, and I mean, God bless their soul. I mean, whatever, man. I don't know how much patience one human being is entitled to. I don't know how much, like, you know, I can be an impatient person myself, but I have grown up showing patience to people who were impatient. I have done stupid shit like that. When in therapy, you pay this individual to show. If they're like, if they have any look of, oh, fuck this motherfucker. Yeah, fire them. Fire them. If you get a sense of, okay, I'm a problem, I'm a nuisance to this person. Yeah, fire them. Fuck that. Find someone new. Because a real good one part of being, look, if you're a therapist with no patience, go fuck yourself, man. Holy shit. Because what your grand, I don't know, whatever, man. It's I guess for me is what I've appreciated from all my therapists is patience, because this cold, cruel world had me believe that either that kind of patience doesn't exist or a nigga like you ain't entitled to it. Yeah, that was the three realization that I had. Now, 1 hour, 7 minutes. Whatever, man. Sorry, I was about to beat myself on the head for going too long, but fuck it, man. It's your podcast, B-Black. Okay, what's up with the title, B-Black? Okay, so I made a little change. Usually, my title is usually a rap verse, and today I decided to go with a quote, a movie quote, a movie line from the movie Juice, featuring actors like, oh, man, fuck, who cares? More importantly, Tupac, and he plays the role of Bishop. And the reason I shared this is because two things. I remember contemplating when I was like having my world, questioning my world. I remember questioning the ground that I walked on. I'm like I'm trying to feel safe. I'm trying to, my back is against the wall. Basically, I was thinking of the concept of fear and how it had to be, okay, you know that acronym, false. Fear is false. What's the acronym again? Appearing real. False evidence appearing real. Yeah, exactly. False evidence appearing real. Well, to me, that shit ain't false. It's I was just thinking about the concept of fear and how it's an unchecked, how I've gone through my entire life treating it like a an instinct. Now, what's funny is I've done, you know, what are you saying? You're a coward? I mean, I have my moments where I can't be coward. But I have done public speaking. I have, you know, I'm working. So I've gotten over certain fears. Like, there's certain things. But there's certain parts of my life where fear is like, yeah, we run this motherfucker. I run this motherfucker. And I didn't. It was just an emotion. It was just a thing, a thought, an emotion that I never questioned. Now, I'm not saying, hey, look, I figured things out. I'm just saying I have an awareness of it. I might, you know, my behavior may not change. I'm just saying right now a seed has been planted where I'm like, I see you now, Mr. Fear. Yeah, so usually I take rap verse, but this time I went with, yeah, two things. I was thinking of The Ground Beneath My Feet, and I was thinking of that quote, that line by Tupac, and also how the character Bishop, what I did, I admire that character, but it made me think about how a lot of the people I looked up to, a lot of characters I looked up to, found strength in, is because they had a dysfunctional way. Well, to me, it looked healthy, but they had a dysfunctional way of dealing with their fears. So in that line, in that character, some in that particular scene, because I remember relating to that scene, and I know, like, you know, if you know Bishop, he ended up, he wanted to be the man. He was tired of not being respected, and he ends up getting a gun, and shit didn't go too well afterwards. But I remember looking at that character and being, I don't get it. He's not, I mean, yeah, maybe he shot his own friend. That's kind of bad, but he had all the right intentions. He was tired of being disrespected. He was tired of feeling at the bottom of the food chain. So he got himself the gun so he could feel like the man. Like, when he said that speech, yo, I swear, when he said that speech, you got to get the ground beneath your feet, partner. Wait, okay, let me reset it myself. You got, check yourself, you. You got to snatch some cars and let them motherfuckers know you're there to take them out anytime you feel like it. Yeah, that's power. In his mind, that's power. But the reality is, oh man, the Sopranos touched on this theme. The concept of absolute power, how it doesn't exist, how it's actually fear-based, how it's, look, I'm not preaching. I got to be careful. I'm not preaching, but I'm starting to understand a lot of the people I admired with the way they dealt with their fears. Now I'm realizing was unhealthy. I'm not cured yet, but I'm starting to understand it. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. And yeah, no, I remember admiring Bishop and being, we got to see both sides. He's got some good points. I remember seeing some good points, and I'm realizing that, no, it's a reflection of that demon inside of me called fear. And it's like, you know what you need, nigga? You need to be a gun. You need to be more like Bishop. Shoot your friend so people will take you seriously. Oh, right. All this to say that what triggered all this is I'm reading this new book, and it's called... let me bring it up. It's called, you know what? Let me look it up. Ooh, for sure. So I just realized that I turned off the AC so I could record with no noise. All right. No, okay, doesn't matter. Okay, what happened is I found myself looking. I wanted to read something about fear, something inspirational, and it led me to. Goddamn, what's the name of this guy's name? Hold on. Okay, now I'm going to have to go in my audio. I'm going to go on my phone. Mute. And it's really deep. I'm going to actually get the actual book, but I'm going for the audiobook, and it's just like not long. It's called The Fear, Essential Wisdom for Getting Through the Storm by Thich Nhat Hanh. I mispronounced. But I remember that name. I think he made a book called... here, I'll tell you what. Let me look him up instead of speculating. You know what's amazing? Yesterday, my therapy session was so fucked up that I didn't think I was going to record. I remember telling myself, I have nothing to talk about. Oh, shit. That dude's Vietnamese? Okay. His name is, should have known. I'm going to fuck up his name, ain't I? Oh, I tell you what. Let me, this is an information age. You don't have to fuck up people's name. But I heard that dude was homie with Martin Luther King. That's my point. Okay. How to pronounce. I'm wasting some time. There we go.
Vietnamese names and words whose pronunciations aren't exactly
Tabarnak, here we go.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of Vietnamese Thiền Buddhist monk, peace activist, and founder of the Plum Village tradition. How do you go about pronouncing his name? Thich Nhat Hanh.
There we go.
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Thich Nhat Hanh.
Pretty straightforward.
All right, pretty straightforward. Thich Nhat Hanh. Right, now I'm going to Google. Where do I know him from again? He wrote a book called... Damn, that nigga wrote a lot of books. Shit. I know him from... He wrote something about Jesus, I think. Oh, fuck. Here, click on view all. Living Buddha, Living Christ. Yes. Yes. I don't remember finishing that book. Anyway, yeah. Now, last Google search. Thich Nhat Hanh, Martin Luther the King. Yeah, apparently they were homies. That's what I'm trying to say, man. Okay, Thich Nhat Hanh and Martin Luther King blogs. And, oh yeah, they are homies. Okay, yeah, apparently that's where a lot of, well, the idea of nonviolence, that's where he kind of inspired that idea. I tell you what, before I bullshit you with the last few minutes of this podcast, let me look that up. I got to remember to look this up. But the point is, him and Martin Luther King were homeboys. That's the whole point. All right, did I cover it? Yes, what's up with the title? Yeah, today's title, Ground Beneath Your Feet. Episode 089, Ground Beneath Your Feet. You know what's fucked? That's how fucked up therapy was, because 089 was supposed to be something related to the year 1989, but I had a like 90 degree turn. But here we are, man. Here we are. All right. Hey, les amis, this concludes today's episode. Yeah. Like always, holler at me. You know, I'm starting to look for feedback. Not only am I going to be looking for donations, but I'd like to hear some feedback. I'm going to start opening the line. I need to expand my audience here. But yeah, so on Twitter, you can reach me via the handle BBlizak, BBLIZAK, or Shut Up Podcast. On TikTok, holler at me at B.Black. Online, on the interwebs, go for shutuppodcast.com. Yeah, you know, it's kindly preferred, man. Don't give you a lot of must, no visits. Yeah, go straight to the website. On there, you can find the show notes with the links to everything covered on the podcast. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And you can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed on the website or go through Google and Apple Podcasts. Yo, I mean it, man. I seriously mean it. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.
I am your king now!